Hey, praise the Lord. I'm Pastor Jesse Rich. Honored, delighted, and glad you tuned in today. Let's turn our Bibles over to Mark chapter 11. Now, here in verse 22, Jesus said this. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Then he went on to say here, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever say in this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, those things you say are words, those things which say is come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, this thrilled me when I first heard this. To realize that I can start having what I say, that I can start speaking to mountains. Mountains are problems, situation in life that you're confronted with. Instead of just sitting around the house wondering when God's going to do something, that he gave me the tools, the where to, the name of Jesus, the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, to be able to deal with these problems that come up by talking to him in Jesus' name. And just keep saying what God's word says. And just keep taking the authority over it in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. One of our partners in our ministry called me, talked to me, yesterday. He's talking about, he got this notice from the IRS in 2013 that he owed him $100,000. And just, you know, that got his attention real fast. And so he went to the accountants and been working with them and working with the IRS and writing letters and calling. And they're just, apparently they were just getting angrier. You know, pay this money. Well, he said, you know, I don't know what all happened, but I knew I got to start speaking this mountain. And I took Mark 11:23. And I started saying, in Jesus' name, I'm debt-free. Debt, you're gone in Jesus' name. And it's just day after day after day. For 2 years, I just kept saying, in Jesus' name. Check with the count. Get the letters back from the IRS. Nothing's changed. It's gotten worse, see. Like the one with the issue of blood, she was nothing better. Her brother grew worse. Well, financially. I mean, he had all kinds of problems coming to him. But he just, you know, kept tithing, kept praising God, kept speaking the word, kept his joy, kept his victory. I mean, he had some moments. Finally, yesterday, at 4:30 in the morning, it's like the devil woke him up and said, well, yeah, you know, you've been doing this, you've been doing that. In other words, you've been having a good time, but what about that IRS tax bill you owe? So he said, I went back just saying Jesus' name. It's paid for. Jesus said, whosoever saying this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says is going to pass, he shall have what you saith. I mean, you know, he didn't have this kind of money in his checking account at the time. But he kept saying it. God's going to do something, you see, and he kept speaking to that mountain, calling it paid in Jesus' name. He said, Brother Rich, I just want to call you. My accountant just called me, said the IRS called him and said, we've wiped it all out. You don't owe us anything. Well, I shouted, I think, more than he did. Praise God. Well, trouble comes. Sometimes because you neglected your responsibilities. Other times it came and you don't even know why it came. Then God said, call upon me in a time of trouble and I'll deliver you. Now, how's God going to get you out of the problem? Take God's word and put it inside your mouth and talk to the mountain in Jesus' name. And see, now don't miss the part. See, this is for 2 years, the battle's on. It's severe financially. It's just trying to wipe him out and take everything he's got. But he stayed faithful. I mean, sure, he had his moments that fear came and doubt and unbelief. But when they'd come, he'd answer with the word. See, that beats wondering. Wondering why God hadn't done it yet. Wonder why it's not working. Wonder why God let this happen. See, you can wonder and waver, or you can believe and speak God's word. See, the choice is going to be yours as believers. See, the wondering and wavering, they're not going to receive anything from the Lord. And this is where many people get confused, you know. Here this person's a Christian, they tithe and they gave, and nothing happened to them. You know, here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the scripture says here in let's start in verse 3. If our gospel be as hid as hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, this is Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, least the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose image God has shined unto them. Now, verse 13, we have in the same spirit of faith, according to written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Well, faith speaks of things that don't exist as though they do exist. This is how Abraham got his miracle. Now, verse 18 of the same chapter says here, while we look not at the things which are seen. Now, how are you going to not look at the problem? So you got the IRS on your case. How are you going to look at that problem? You're going to consider what God's word says about it. And you're going to take God's word. I mean, here's a man that he's got a family and, you know, great help to people. He's, you know, all the homeless people and people that he's helped and done many, you know, mighty works for the Lord and gives God all the credit. Here, this huge trial came in to wipe him out. But in the midst of that mountain, in the midst of that problem, in the midst of that Goliath, he started speaking to it in Jesus' name. So verse 18 says, while we look not the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now, this is what God wants to do. In verse 7, chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, it's sure easy to go by what you see and go by what you feel, isn't it? Sure. And if you keep looking at that, you'll begin to sink in doubt and unbelief. Now, James said it this way, by the Holy Spirit, of course. Holy Spirit through James said in James chapter 1, verse 1 through verse 8. James, the servant of God and Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 scribes which scattered abroad, greet. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. Only this trial of your faith work with patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, giveth all men liberally, and upbraid not, and shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers like wave seed, or in the toss. For let not that man think he shall receive anything, Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, see, if we let that wondering and wavering come in with doubt and unbelief, wonder why we don't have it yet. And those feelings come to everybody. You know, if you ever believe God for anything, they're going to come. The devil's going to show up. He's going to try to, you know, test you out. But what you've got to do is just, you know, this means the more serious the problem is, the more serious you need to take God's word. Yeah, time in his word. You know, this isn't a time that we should be messing around, because you got this huge trial you're faced with. Remember one time a minister I knew, and it was Sunday morning, he's going to have a bowl of cereal, and he got up that morning, you know, and it's all prepared to, you know, just before the service. In fact, someone else is going to preach, so he didn't have to really get ready. So he sat down and poured a big bowl of cereal. You know how guys are. Sometimes we mix them together, not the girls don't. And he said, I just started to dip a spoon into it, and I got the phone rang. Actually, he was going to get ready to pour the milk in and eat this cereal, and the phone rang. It came to me, you know, they didn't get the best news. He said, Brother Rich, you know, I just poured that cereal back in the box and got my Bible out and started getting ready for the battle I was faced with or the situation. Well, you see now, what did he need to do? Well, he knew exactly what to do. He's got to do something now. What is he going to do? Pick up that Bible and start using it like the sword of the Spirit, get prepared himself. And another thing is he had to take care of and preach the message that morning. So at least if you're taught God's word, you know where you have to go back to. That's what I love about CDs. You know, you got your CD player and someone's preaching half what you say. And every day you need to hear that because your face is the Goliath, the mountains, the lions, the devils, the demons, so to speak. Satan comes a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And what we're doing to God's word is keeping ourselves convinced I'm one of the ones he can't devour. Now, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to try to blow your house down and huff and puff about all that. But in the midst of all that, you're thinking, I got God's word in Jesus' name. I refuse to relent. I refuse to give up in the name of Jesus. And, you know, thank God for Christians that may encourage you, but they're not in the battle. It's you. In that midnight hour, you know, the midnight hour, Paul and Silas, they prayed, and who wouldn't? They're in jail. Their backs are bleeding. Looks like, you know, God's not there. He's not working. But then they begin to sing praises to God, and the prisoners heard him. Like one preacher said, not only the prisoners heard him, God heard him. Well, God sent that earthquake in there and got him out of there, rescued him supernaturally so they could go on and serve him. Well, I mean, those are testimonies. You know, they're great testimonies. But with a great testimony, there came a great trial. Well, now, we like the testimony. We just don't like the trial. Amen? But James said here, by the Holy Spirit, count it all joy. See, Brother Hagin would just say, it's just one more opportunity to believe God's word. His deacons would wonder, what are we going to do? He'd say, we're just going to act like the Bible's true. And they'd kind of sigh of relief. You know, you're right, Pastor. It is true. Well, certainly it is true. But what we're doing as believers, we're keeping ourselves convinced that it's true. And, you know, you can be real strong one day, and the next day, it seems like the doubt and unbelief has taken over you. See, resist doubt constantly. Doubt is double-mindedness and unbelief. And that'll rob you of the blessings that God has for you. See, remember Peter walking the water, go to Jesus? And see, many times healing begins in a person's life. Then it's aborted because they let the doubt enter in. And your mind will rob you. Your mind will work against you. But as believers, we refuse to let doubt in. We refuse to let doubt rob us of the promise of God or the blessings of God. See, don't believe what your head tells you. Believe what God's promises say. Don't believe your feelings. Resist those thoughts that come to you and grab the promise of God. See, the battle's going to be in your thought life, in the area of your mind. And see, that's one of the reasons. And those thoughts come to you like machine gun bullets. The many dear sincere Christians failed to receive from God because the battle got severe. I understand, you know, in the flesh you can only take so much. But thank God you got the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you. And greater is He that's in you than He is in the world. So when those thoughts come to you, instead of just entertaining them and letting them just stay and not do anything about them, no, they need to be resisted. And all of us, you know, need to do that with the Word of God. Jesus, He just take the Word and turn it in a sword and say, it's written, it's written, it's written. In Matthew 4, there, beginning verse 1 through 11, and the devil left him. Now, He set the example, Jesus did, of how to resist the devil. See, we're not going to see the devil, but he comes with feelings, with thoughts of worry, of fear, and doubt and unbelief, confusion, bewilderment, wondering, wavering, to get us talked out of believing God's Word. See, if you're not careful, you think it's just your thoughts. No, those are coming from Him. He's the one that's bringing them. And so it's just easy just to sort of roll over and just let Him just steamroll over us. Or the best thing to do is rise to the occasion in Jesus' name, grab that sword and let it come out of your mouth till Satan leaves. See what that dear brother do about his tax bill? He just kept saying what was written. He kept quoting Mark 11:23, Mark 11:24. He kept saying, see, day after day, week after week, month after month, now the first year, then the second year. And every demon in hell was trying to convince him it's not going to work. Those demons of darkness come. We read there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. See, God let us know that Satan is the god of this world. Little g. God owns the earth, but Satan came and set up his kingdom. He does all he could to keep someone from receiving Jesus. I mean, think about, most of us could have got born again before we got born again because we probably heard the message of salvation or someone witnessed to us and told us we need to be saved. And a lot of us, we put it off. For whatever the reason, we chose to put it off. But thank God, you know, for God's mercy and grace, He kept sending people across their path. And the Holy Spirit kept working with us on it. So we could, know that God wants us to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. I mean, you grow up in church. It's kind of hard to realize you got to be born again if you never heard that before. And someone else comes to you up to you at the airport and tells you about Jesus. And all of a sudden, okay, where'd this crazy person come from? And yet they were coming from God. They were coming to be a witness to you. And you kind of really don't realize that till after a fact, till that time goes by. And just get digging your Word of God, your Bible, highlight promise, get you a yellow highlighter, and highlight all the promises you can find there, and just keep reading those to yourself, keep quoting them to yourself, over and over again. Speaking God's Word, meditating on God's Word. There's a lot of work, sure, but it sure beats being sick and living in disease. Those things aren't fun, and they got to be ran off, and keep yourself in a situation that Satan can't touch you. And this goes back to walking the love, putting the flesh under, and not judging other people and forgiving other people. You're going to have a golden opportunity, so to speak, to hold some kind of resentment against someone because they did you wrong. See, many times, people have said, maybe I've said it, but anyway, people say, well, you don't know what they did to me. In other words, you're looking for a reason for people to say to you, oh, I didn't realize they did that to you. Well, since they did that to you, God doesn't expect you to forgive them. Well, if Stephen could forgive him when he was being stoned, and Jesus can forgive him when he's being crucified, how much more can you and I? Because we got the greater one in us, and they're just talking about us, or whatever. See, your mind looks for a way not to do the Word. Your flesh looks for a way not to do the Word of God. Flesh doesn't mind it's you spending money on it. It's all in agreement for that. But boy, when you start giving to the gospel, oh, now flesh starts talking. It brings up all, it uses your head, your mind, to bring up all your bills and what you don't have and how you haven't gotten anything. And, if you give this, you'll never have it again. And it goes on and on and on and on and on. That's what my flesh is telling me about that painting. I mean, how are you going to get another one? Well, you see, the best way to get another one is give the one you got. I mean, God had one son, so what does God do? He gave the one son He had, and thank God He did, because you and I got born again. Now God's got more children. And every time someone receives Jesus as Lord, God gets a return on His giving. We're almost out of time today. I'm going to encourage you, be at our New England Thanksgiving Revival, November the 22nd through the 28th. Two services a day, 10:30 a.m., 7 p.m. Still got time to get there and make a service. Springfield, Massachusetts, the Sheridan Hotel. More information on our website at jesserichministries.com. New Haven Word of Faith Seminar coming up at the Omni Hotel, December 9th, 10th, 11th. Two sessions a day, 10:30, 7 p.m. And then the week of Christmas, New England Christmas celebration and Thanksgiving celebration. That's that week of Christmas. And where's that at? Farmington Marriott, Farmington, Connecticut. Ah, you're going to like that. Come and get built up in God's Word. I want to encourage Pastor Jesse Rich, mind you that Jesus is Lord, and you keep speaking the Word and praying in tongues and tell someone about Jesus. Amen.